harping on wars, we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it, let the song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
When you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, we got bad news on Saturday. Monica Schaefer put out a very heartfelt email to her family and friends, political and otherwise, about news she'd just received. It happened on Thursday in court in Munich, and Alfred Schaefer, her brother, who's a great revisionist videographer, an incredibly brave and positive man, has been jailed for another 18 months. And you may ask, well, wait a sec, he was in jail for 38 months, a sentence last summer, the 38 beginning in June of 2018, and he was sentenced for basically challenging the Hollywood version of World War II. He does not believe the standard account of the so-called Holocaust is right, and he's very outspoken and brave about saying it. That goes against Section 130 of the German Criminal Code, which outlaws inciting racial hatred among the masses. Now, questioning the Hollywood version of World War II, first of all, it has nothing to do about race, and it's not a matter of spreading hatred. It's a matter of trying to clear the record, and if anything, remove false guilt from people. Well, the maximum time in jail is 5 years. He got 3 years and 2 months. And the additional 18 months has been tacked on because he was recharged for things he said in court. And the insane thing, that in the Kafkaesque world of minority-imposed justice in Germany, in that world, it's a further crime to repeat your crime or to try and defend it. So what he did is he showed extensive videos that he'd made which helped explain how we came to the conclusion that the Hollywood version of World War II, you know, 6 million gas ovens and gas chambers and all that, was substantially false. Well, that in any reasonable system is a defense. You explain how you came, you at least establish that you're a person in good faith, that you're not doing, you're not saying what you're saying because you want to get people to kill other people or, you know, some dramatic stuff like that. For having defended himself, he's been given a further 18 months in jail. And that's not enough. The state prosecutor wanted 2 years and is appealing the sentence. They want even more. This is the utter vindictive intellectual police state. His sister did a video on Saturday with my good friend Brian Rue in Vancouver, and in this video she will explain this at greater detail. So this is Monica Schaefer on the Brian Rue Show, and if you go on our website, you'll be able to see.
August 10th, 2019, I'm with Monica Schaefer. She just received news about her brother Alfred in Germany. So Monica, what's the latest?
Yeah, this is not good news, folks. I mean, we knew he was facing more court date for things that he said in court and a gesture that he made in court. Anyway, that did happen, and he received another 18 months. On top of what he already has received.
So he had 3 years and 2 months, and now he's got, so it's like 4 years and 8 months total.
And the prosecutor wanted more. The prosecutor asked for 24 months and is actually appealing it because it's not serious enough. The punishment was not big enough for the prosecutor's liking, but Alfred is also appealing. And also, I just want to point out that by rights, he shouldn't even be in jail right now because everything is under appeal. The verdict from last fall is under appeal. Yeah. And in normal cases, a person shouldn't be in jail while it's being appealed, right?
But he's
a flight risk. And that's why he's been in jail all this time already. But they have him in their clutches and they don't want to let him go. And now with this new verdict added on, it's not to be served simultaneously, it is added on, and as I said, everything's under appeal, but he is in jail. That is the fact of the matter.
That's disappointing. That's bad news. I thought there was a limit of like 5 years to Holocaust denial. Just the IAEA is in charge for Holocaust denial, so that's almost a max already, 4 years and 8 months.
They want to make an example of him. I mean, it is the devil is running the show over there, and this is how it is. So I just want to make this perfectly clear for people what this latest verdict is for. It is for things that he said in the courtroom. So in a trial, and it's again about a speech crime, I mean, that very notion is just beyond the pale, bizarre, that we, in our so-called Western, you know, democratic and the freest country,
free speech,
and according to Angela Merkel, Germany is the freest country ever to be on German soil now, right now. Oh yes, okay, so there we are in trial, and Alfred says things to explain, for example, how did we reach these conclusions? Evidence, bringing evidence in, you know, to support these conclusions that we have reached about the World War II history and the big lies that they have foisted upon us. So, because you are speaking these things in public, in the courtroom, because there are people in the public gallery, you are doing new crime.
Now, oh, wow. Just because there's people in the public gallery listening to this.
you're doing new crime because you're saying these things in public, but evidence in court? Well, who needs that? Defending yourself in court? Oh no, you can't do that.
You think they would exonerate him for what he's saying in court in his own defense? That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's Orwellian.
Exactly, Brian. I mean, the whole thing from the get-go, but this is just like the next level. It is, actually, it takes my words away. It makes me speechless. This is how it is. So I just wanted to tell you that. I wanted to tell people that that is what's going on. I encourage people to write letters of encouragement and support, even just a postcard with a greeting on it. What can we do right now? We just have to stand up, speak the truth, know that we have truth on our side. I mean, you know, when they forbid evidence in the court and when they make your defense illegal, I mean, even just to make a speech a crime, you know, they are hiding something big. When history comes to you enforced by the law,
yeah,
it's only one thing for certain.
It's a lie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So really, yeah. I don't know what else to say about it, Brian.
Well, we've got to let people know about this. People don't realize how bad the laws are in Germany. I think they're making an example out of him because what he said was true, and they know he's right, so they're trying to... It's just turning the truth on its head. It's bad enough, a sentence of 3 years and 2 months, so they're going even further. That's how they operate in averting the truth.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to get his address, it's on my website. It's the sticky post at the top of my website, and I think you'll be posting that below, but it's freespeechmonica.wordpress.com. So freespeechmonica, all one word, and Monica with a K, .wordpress.com. And then the first post there is Alfred's address and also other political prisoners in Germany currently. If people know about others, feel free to put it in the comment section there, and we'll add those to that article, that sticky post that's at the top of my website there. Like Horst Mahler is still in jail. Sylvia Stoltz is in jail, and she's in jail for a speech she gave. I've written about that extensively, and
Ursula Haverbeck's in jail still, right?
Thank you, Brian.
And she's 90 years old, right?
90-year-old woman, very dignified woman, who simply asked questions. She asked questions for 5 years. She wrote to every government level, and she wrote to every Jewish organization. She wrote and wrote and wrote and asked them, where did this crime take place?
Yeah.
These 6 million Jews, where crime take place? Well, she never ever got a response, not a single response. So after 5 years of doing that, she basically said, well, if there's no place where it took place, then there was no crime, you see?
Yeah, where are the bodies today? There should be some evidence today they can't find, they can't produce.
Yeah.
She was there in the 1930s. She was part of National Socialist Germany.
Yeah, she's 90. I think she must be almost 91 by now.
Yeah.
And, I would encourage people to look up her videos. For example,
she has some in English as well.
The Great English. The Greatest Problem of Our Time, or the German ones have subtitles. She had an interview on mainstream television in Germany on Panorama. The Panorama interview, it was called, and people should watch that. I mean, it was just amazing. 40 minutes, I think it was. But she's got some shorter videos as well. Yeah, so there you go. I don't know what else to say, Brian. Just wanted to tell you that, tell the world that. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I'm really crestfallen. I'll get this out today. Thanks for breaking the news to us, Monica. We'll get the word out. Yeah, people got to keep talking about this.
All right.
In front of people's faces. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you very much, Brian. We'll talk to you again.
That was Monica Schaefer on the Brian Rue Show. Very well done, and you know, we're putting this out and circulating it as widely as possible. Monica, actually, just before she got that news, sent out a story about some of the problems she's been going through in her hometown of Jasper, Alberta. And this is Monica's story. She calls it the War Zone in Jasper. Now, of course, Monica, just as a bit of background, Monica put out, Monica in the June of 2016 did a video, about a 6-minute video in English and in German, entitled "Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust." And she starts off playing a little bit of fiddle music and ends up the same way. She's a talented violinist, teaches violin, even though the dark forces in her hometown of Jasper have done their best to try to ruin her, intimidate her students and so on, into abandoning her. And this video went viral, as they say, and created a huge stir both in the English-speaking world and in Germany. And what Monica did in that video was that she explained that growing up in Alberta, she's Canadian born, her parents are German, her parents were teenagers during the war, her father was a medical doctor, but growing up in Alberta, when she was going through a school, particularly high school, the Holocaust had really just been invented. Well, when I say that, I'm not being funny, but there was a series in the 1970s called The Holocaust, and that began to solidify what you might call the Holocaust story, or it's actually a religion, and the religion has a number of tenets. One of them is the 6 million and not a single person fewer Jews died in the Holocaust, at the hands of the National Socialists, mostly in the detention and internment camps. Secondly, the major method of this was gassing these people with a delousing agent called Zyklon B. Thirdly, that this was the greatest crime in all of human history. Fourthly, that this this was ordered from the very top by Adolf Hitler. And fifthly, that we must never forget, and everybody's guilty. Yeah, at first, you know, you'd think, well, okay, the National Socialist regime was guilty. Well, then it was all Germans are guilty. Well, then now we're all guilty. And this is a really an insane religion, and it's a religion for us. Not primarily a religion for the Jews, it's a religion for us. In a de-Christianized West, much of our elite actually are fanatic devotees of the religion of Holocaust. And here, you know, we build Holocaust memorials in the United States and Canada, Holocaust museums, and so on. And you know, when you think about it very logically, whatever it was, the Holocaust, number one, it didn't happen to Canadians or Americans. Number two, Canadians or Americans didn't do it, whatever it was. And it didn't happen in Canada or the United States. So, not to be unkind about it, but why should we care? It's not our story. Furthermore, Canada and the United States fought against the people, that's the National Socialist Government of Germany, that allegedly did this thing, whatever it was, called the Holocaust. So we're the good guys. Well, that's not quite the way it works, though. We're all guilty. This Holocaust religion has turned out to be a guilt whip to control people. You know, if you are a critic of immigration, somewhere along the line you will be told, "Remember the Holocaust." Well, what does that have to do with Central Americans pouring across the American border? But guilt is a uniquely malicious way to control Europeans. I don't think you could control other races with guilt. You may be able to control them with other emotions, but not guilt. We're uniquely susceptible to that. So this religion of Holocaust has falsely loaded guilt on the German people. It's loaded guilt on us, even though we're the ones who, you know, allegedly, supposedly fought the people who supposedly did the Holocaust, whatever it was. And like religion, and I don't mean this in a nasty way, but religion is illogical, is irrational. Religion is usually a matter of faith. You believe. I can't prove to you that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, but supposing I don't believe the Bible. It's a matter of faith. You know, you either believe or you don't believe. And the Holocaust is the same way. Trying to get down to any of the so-called facts, and they squish away. For instance, one of the tenets of the new religion of Holocaust is that this was the worst crime in all of human history. Well, now, you know, if we're still in the world of the rational, worst has to be more terrible than something else. It's a matter of numbers, right? So, okay, let's take the figure 6 million. That's very dicey, but let's take it. All right. In the 20th century, we don't have to go any further than that. The communists in Russia, led by Jews like Kaganovich, deliberately starved to death between 8 and 10 million Ukrainians to break the resistance of the Ukrainian presence in 1932-33, in what this Ukrainians call the Holodomor. I rest my case. 8 to 10 is bigger than 6. So whatever this Holocaust thing was, it wasn't the greatest crime in all of human history. You know, and when you begin to look at the specifics, it all evaporates. I'll take one more specific. Adolf Hitler, this mad genius, decreed that he would rid Europe of Jews, and so the story goes, and so he ordered the extermination of the Jews. That's the story. Well, historian David Irving, who is fluent in German, and who has as his method going to the original sources, diaries, people who were there. Well, there aren't too many people who were there anymore, but in his interviews in the 70s, 60s and 70s and 80s, he would try to go to original sources. And as he often says in lectures, ladies and gentlemen, I go to the archives. the archives, so written records. Now, one of the things about the German government and the German army is they were meticulous. I mean, they were very organized and they were very detail-driven and record-driven. There weren't a lot of mavericks. You didn't do things in the German army or in the German state without proper authorization, without orders. And I joke, and it is only a joke, but you needed a written order in the army to be able to go to the washroom. Well, that's an exaggeration. But anyway, so you would think that if the Führer had ordered this a monumental undertaking to kill 6 million people, that there'd be an order. Some rogue detention camp commandant wouldn't be doing this on his own. That wasn't the way things operated in National Socialist Germany. And for anything of this magnitude, especially so. So, okay. Well, where's the order? And David Irving said that he has scoured the archives. No order from Adolf Hitler. All right, well, okay, maybe it didn't come from Adolf Hitler. Maybe it came from Heinrich Himmler. Or it came from, but it would have to come from somebody high up. Something like what the Hollywood version alleges, or just wouldn't happen without written documentation. You're not going to undertake something this huge without being very certain that was what your commanding officer wanted. And he, of course, wouldn't pass on such an order unless he had such an order. Bottom line is, no order from Hitler or anybody in the senior command. So, okay, those are just two of the reasons that reasonable people doubt the new religion of Holocaust. And in a very modified way, that's what Monica said in her video. And because she is such an engaging, friendly person, this was not a strident rant, the video was really quite effective. And the German government took revenge, and in January of 2018, when she was at the trial of another dissident in Germany, a lawyer who'd been jailed for defending her client, who'd been charged with questioning the Holocaust, and that was Ernst Siegel. The lawyer was Sylvia Stolz. She was on trial and in Munich, and Monica went to her trial, and at that trial was arrested. Now, she ended up serving 10 months in a German jail. So her hometown of Jasper, once all this came out, turned against her. Not everybody, but there was a whisper campaign. She was shunned. All sorts of petty, nasty things were done to her. A coffee shop where she frequently made copies on the photocopier, paid for it, of course. Refused to do any business with her in the future. She lost. She would often play at weddings and events like that. Some of those canceled on her. She was the one who pressed in Jasper for the town council to allow busking. And, if you're a little hazy on what busking is playing, usually playing music or singing in public, like play a violin or an accordion on a street corner, and you have a box there, and people, if they like the music, toss in some coin or a few dollars. And Monica thought that is Jasper's a tourist town there in the Rockies. A formal policy for busking would be a good idea. Well, lo and behold, in 2000 and I believe it was 2017, the town council established a permits for busking. And one of the first people to apply was Monica Schaefer. Well, a review committee looked at that and decided that they would not give her one because her views on videos that were on the internet were not inclusive. I'm not kidding. And you may well wonder, well, what does inclusive, whatever that means, in videos have to do with whether or not this lady can play the violin? And people are entirely free to walk on by or not listen, or if they listen, toss in some money or not toss in some money. I mean, everything is so utterly voluntary. And this was simply a way to cheap revenge. She was also banned from the Legion in Jasper by a person who had been the Socialist Party candidate and at one point had been an ally of hers. Not exactly a personal friend, but they had a good relationship. Not only did he ban her from the Legion, but he approached the Alberta Human Rights Commission, the Canadian Human Rights Commission, the RCMP, and the German government, all with a view to having her charged. I mean, you talk about busybody vindictiveness, all because she had expressed a view that was contrary to current cultural Marxism. It's not a common view, and it may not even be a popular view. But a healthy country, which is what Canada used to be, would take the approach, look, I think you're wrong, or I think you're a horse's ass on this point, but you've got a right to your opinion. Now, underline that, but you have a right to your opinion. Well, that's not the way things turned out. While none of these things came to pass, that is, the various legal measures that charges. And when you think about it, she would be charged for the nonviolent expression of her political opinions or historical opinions, as the case might be. In what sort of country does that happen? Cuba, North Korea, Red China,
are not countries you would think we'd want to emulate. We as a country have really deteriorated. You may ask, well, what's the import of being banned from Legion? Well, Monica's a musician, and she actually played with a number of different groups or bands in Jasper. And in small town Canada, often the meeting place is the Legion. It's not just a place where old soldiers sit around and drink and play cards. It usually has a, some sort of a facility for a little auditorium or where people can meet or play music. Well, if you're banned from the Legion, you're not able to. She's not able to participate in music. Well, anyway, this is all background, and I want to in this her latest letter, Monica explains the latest in Jasper. The war zone in Jasper. I've often said that we are in a war, not a war of our choosing, but a war that is being foisted onto us by the self-declared enemy of humanity. In the absence of bombs, most people do not realize that we are in a war. It is a war of infiltration, subversion, contamination, demoralization, and destruction from within. They conduct psychological warfare by way of deception, political correctness, criminalization of speech, and ritual defamation of truth-tellers. The Jews and their minions in Jasper seem to be ramping up their war against this truth-teller. That's Monica. Perhaps they cannot abide by the fact that I'm having success, nor can they abide by the fact that I keep on talking. In fact, they are getting quite hysterical. Two incidents happened just yesterday. I posted an item for sale on the Jasper AB Buy, Sell, and Trade, a Facebook site. Immediately someone showed interest. Next came a comment by Jessica Gomes, warning, in her quotation marks, people that this seller is the same person as convicted Holocaust denier. Then she linked to an article about all about me being jailed. Someone else commented back something to the effect of, hey, she may be fucked, but she's just selling a cheap bike. Let her sell the bike. You wonder at the vehemence of people. Oh, she's selling a bike. She's not volunteering to give a speech on World War II. Jessica Gomes immediately responded with a pack of lies about me stalking her, calling her the little Jewess, playing the violin in front of her shop for hours, harassing and threatening her. I responded with a comment asking her if she always just made up random stuff like that. I had no idea that what this woman even looked like. I do not know her. So all of that was simply fabricated out of her sick imagination. Once again, a Jew reveals herself to me, according to her own comment. As an aside, I do recall that 2 years ago she wrote a letter called Hate Begins with Words to the local newspaper called the Jasper Local. I wrote about it in an article called Local Letters and Inquisition. Wanting to take a screenshot, I switched from the small pop-ups of these comments to the main screen, but just then the comment thread disappeared. The site's admin must have noticed the inappropriate conversation. Tired of being a punching bag, I decided to take action and went to the RCMP to make a complaint. The officer took my statement and listened to my story. Later that day, I received a phone call from him telling me that she won't be doing that again. She had been venting her anger, she told him. I was just selling a bicycle, and she can take her anger and park it elsewhere. The officer agreed. The file was now put to rest, but she had been warned. So I guess the police had warned her that, keep, threatening and defamatory language to yourself. As if one daily adventure isn't enough, my busking hour provided yet more entertainment, more than just music. The busking spot is a small open square surrounded by shops on three sides and a passenger pickup zone in front. It has generally been an excellent spot for busking. On this day, I felt something was different. It felt strange. It felt as though there was an invisible hand at work, causing a state of unease. People walked by in zombie state or veered away. He evaded looking at me, as though I was not there, except for children. They turned toward me, tugged at their parents' hands. A few tourists crossed over from the other side of the street to greet me and chat, and those were absolutely normal and natural in their responses, just like any other day. At the end of my hour, as I was packing up, getting ready to leave, I spotted the problem. A very animated guy was talking to the tourists on the park bench near me, pointing at me, telling them, "She's a convicted Nazi. She went to jail. Blah, 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 blah." What the? So this is how it is now. These locals simply cannot stand if I might be earning a penny or two. I have observed many a local leering at my open violin case full of money that the appreciative tourists have happily thrown in. So she gets a lot of support from the tourists. Now, there's something in this narrative I missed. I believe that she, I guess, eventually did get a busking permit. But initially, she was turned down. She who had really raised the idea and campaigned for organized regulation of busking was turned down, but by the utterly vindictive town council. My busybody animated guy from yesterday, unfortunately, has no name. In my astonishment, I forgot to ask him his name. A loud confrontation ensued. Many people stood transfixed. Even the shopkeepers stepped out to see what the commotion was all about. The guy probably thought I would be embarrassed by what he was telling the tourists and that I would try to deny it and slink away. No such luck. I loudly questioned him. Is this the kind of world you want to live in, where people go to jail simply for speaking? Is this the kind of world you want to live in, where we cannot talk about history, we cannot have discussion and debate, we cannot examine evidence without risking incarceration? If so, we are all enslaved. Then I marched right over to where he sat down and loudly challenged him to a debate. I asked him if he still believed the official story about 9/11 and the 19 Arabs with box cutters. He blew up at that. I have noticed this phenomenon recently, that if you ask a Jew about 9/11, I'm assuming he is a Jew, or at the very least a Jew helper, to put it mildly, they get really angry. It was the second time in 2 days that I'd encountered that anger when I brought up 9/11. Is it because they all know that we all have that one figured out, and that we know that they know that we know? Ha ha, they just get angry. Then he shouted in my face, "Do you believe that 6 million Jews were gassed in the Holocaust?" Laughing, I replied that there were not even 6 million Jews living in all of Europe at the time. He turned as though victorious to the crowd and screeched at them. See, she doesn't believe that 6 million Jews were killed by the Nazis. He thought he had a gotcha moment, and the way he was grandstanding hysterically. He pretended to win a big victory. Wow, it could be hilarious if it was not so serious. They paint me as the hater in the nutcase. If ever there was a demonstration of those lovely characteristics, he certainly outdid himself yesterday. I think the last laugh was on him. And I find this very, very interesting, because this is, in a sense, a day in the life of Monica Schaefer in Jasper. And, you know, she would go out of her way to point out that she has some good friends in Jasper, people who stood by her and have been very loyal. But she says that the social pressure, the cultural Marxists, and it is a left-wing town, even though it's rural Alberta. It's not typical rural Alberta because of the park, the big national park. It has attracted a number of kind of lefty professionals and so on. And so the ambience of the town is fairly left-wing. But the nastiness of what was being done to Monica, it really reminds you of some of the novels from the 1920s and 30s and 40s that expose sort of bigoted small town mentality. What's being done in Jasper reminds me of a Gene Pitney song from the 1960s called "A Town Without Pity." And while there are good people in Jasper, and there've been some loyal people
all too many have gone along with this shunning and the efforts to destroy her. This is the peculiarity about the religion of inclusiveness and diversity, that they don't want the diversity of opinion, and they sure don't want to include somebody who may dissent from some of the accepted ignorance, or I guess you'd say accepted wisdom. Well, this is Paul Fromm. I'm going to take my musical break right now. Here's some Ulster, that's Northern Ireland, Ulster folk songs. All these got brought over by the settlers who settled so much of Appalachia and came from this part of the world.
Okay. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to talk. Give me an Ulster boy who beats his drum. For at least you know where he comes from. All over this world you could find a man to give you sweet lovin' as best he can. All over this world you could find a lad to love you through the good and the bad. There are sailor boys on the seven seas, lumberjacks up in their trees, Willem stars in their flashboard scars, and astronauts on their way to Mars. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to walk. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to talk. Give me an Ulster boy who beats his drum. For at least you know where he comes from. There are men over in Paris, France, who know all about sweet romance. They know how to wine and how to dine, how to make a woman feel oh so fine. The all-American boy with his big hat, with his big wallet and his big chat, he knows how to live a real good life. You could be his fine little wife. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to walk. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to talk. Give me an Ulster boy who beats his drum. For at least you know where he comes from. There are men in India and Pakistan, men in China and Japan, men in Brazil and Peru. They know all over this world you could find a man to give you sweet loving as best he can. All over this world.
One evening folk leisure, out rambled to view their fields all alone. Down by the banks of Knockaren, where beauty and pleasure were known, I spied a fair maid at her labors, which caused me to stay for a while. I thought of her goddess of beauty, that blooming bright star of Bright Isle. I humbled myself to her beauty, fair maiden, where do you belong? Are you from heaven descended, abiding in Cupid's fair throne? Young man, I will tell you a secret, it's true I'm a maid that is poor. And to part from my vows and my promise is more than my heart can endure. Therefore I'll remain at my service and go through all my hardships and toil, and wait for the lad that has left me all alone on the banks of Fair Isle. Young maiden, I wish not to banter, 'tis true I come here in disguise. I came here to fulfill my last promise and hoped it'd give you a surprise. All I know is you're a maid I love dearly, and you've been in my heart all the while. For me there is no other damsel than my blooming bright star of Fair Isle. For me there is no other damsel than my blooming bright star of Fair Isle.
Short, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Go back to the game tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. Shows repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the Maple Leaf forever. The Maple Leaf, our emblem dear, the Maple Leaf forever. God save our Queen and heaven bless the Maple Leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the Maple Leaf.